Let's all be standing as we read the scriptures. And the scriptures we read today is about a turning point in the life of a gentleman. And this gentleman was called David. He was very young when this turning point happened. And this turning point in his life happened through the anointing. The anointing brings a turning point. You know, this turning point in the life of David comes through the anointing. And the passage is 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 1 to verse 13. 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 1 to 13. Very familiar story. The Lord said to Samuel, "How long will you mourn for Saul, since I have rejected him as king over Israel? Fill your horn with oil, fill your horn with oil, and be on your way." Fill your horn with oil and be on your way. A turning point must happen in the life of someone. Fill your horn with oil and be on your way. "I am sending you to Jesse of Bethlehem. I have chosen one of his sons to be king." Those are very special words. But Samuel said, "How can I go? If Saul hears about it, he will kill me." The Lord said, "Take a heifer with you and say, 'I have come to sacrifice to the Lord.'" And then in verse 3, "Invite Jesse to the sacrifice and I will show you what to do. You are to anoint for me the one I indicate." Samuel did what the Lord said. When he arrived at Bethlehem, the elders of the town trembled. When they met him, they asked, "Do you come in peace?" Samuel replied, "Yes, in peace. I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Consecrate yourselves and come to the sacrifice with me." Then he consecrated Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. When they arrived, Samuel saw Eliab and thought, "Surely the Lord's anointed stands here before the Lord." But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him." Physical features don't bring turning points. What he says, "For I have rejected him." The Lord does not look at the heart, at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Then Jesse called Abinadab and had him pass in front of Samuel. But Samuel said, "The Lord has not chosen this one either." Jesse, this is in verse 9, then had Shammah pass by. But Samuel said, "No, has the Lord chosen this one?" Jesse had 7 of his sons pass before Samuel. But Samuel said to him, "The Lord has not chosen this." So he asked Jesse, "Are these all the sons you have?" "There is still the youngest," Jesse answered. "He is tending the sheep." Samuel said, "Send for him. We will not do what? We will not sit down until he arrives." Nobody can take your anointing. Yes. Verse 12, "So he sent for him and had him brought in. He was glowing with health and had a fine appearance and handsome features. Then the Lord said, 'Rise and anoint him. This is the one.'" Let's read verse 13 together. "So Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers. And from that day, on the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David." Samuel then went on to Ramah. This is God's word. Let's be seated. Father in heaven, we are here today to celebrate a beautiful turning point in the life of a man. And Father, we thank you that you bring beautiful turning points in our lives, our businesses, and the trajectory of our life. And Lord, even as I share from this story, may somebody connect with their beautiful turning point today. We bless you because this is a great passage, and we bless you that you prepared our hearts, and we shall receive from you. In Jesus' name we pray. And we all say, amen. The title of the message is 3 L's, capital L, that is capital L and a small L. 3 L's of the royal anointing. 3 L's of the royal anointing. In other words, LLL. 3 L's of the royal anointing. The text is the one I just read, 1 Samuel 16, verse 1 to 13. And in this text, there is oil that is poured to launch a new season of divine possibilities in the life of an individual. And today, as I pray, there is oil that is pouring. Hallelujah. There is oil that is pouring, anointing oil, the oil of the Holy Spirit, that is anointing, you know, falling and pouring right now, like Pastor Ambrose shared last Sunday, the pouring of the oil, flowing of the oil. There is oil that is flowing and pouring in this place, not just as a decoration, but to launch, or rather to set somebody into a new season of divine possibilities. David is about to shine. Somebody is about to shine here. Hallelujah. Your best moment in the journey of your life is about to come. There is a crowning anointing in this service. And I pray that somebody raises their faith to reach out to this crowning anointing that God is releasing today. And this crowning anointing is an anointing for everyone who will reach out. Not for a special few, but for everyone and anyone who will reach out to receive it. David is young. Young people, you can reach out to this anointing. Your beautiful moment is not coming tomorrow. Your beautiful moment is coming now by the anointing that comes from the Lord. Let me say, there is a word said especially to young people, that you are a leader of tomorrow. Let me say to young people, and you are listening to me, both here and also online, to this servant of God, listen. Young people are not leaders of tomorrow. Young people are leaders of today. And I want to repeat it. Young people are not leaders of tomorrow. Young people are leaders of today. That statement delays the breakthrough. It is a lie of the devil to say to a young generation that you are leaders of tomorrow. What I see in this text, and God is confirming it and affirming it, when they are looking for a king, they are looking for a leader, that young people are not leaders of tomorrow. Young people are leaders of today. All they need is a touch of God upon their lives, and they will be accelerated into their powerful and beautiful destiny. There can be and there is a turning point for everybody and for every platform, every business, every family. By the service, today's service, by this anointing, we are also calling and releasing this turning point. You've been struggling for some time, and this turning point has not come. By the anointing that is here, the royal anointing, this turning point is being accelerated, and this turning point is coming through. I want to believe that somebody is connecting with what I'm saying right now in Jesus' name. That turning point you've been expecting about your finances, what I'm saying, by the anointing of today, it is shifting to a new level, because we are launching a new season by the anointing through this service. Royal oil is flowing here, and this royal oil is coming to usher us into our best season, our best time, our golden age. God is saying it is within reach. God is saying it is not far from you. The world has said something different to the young generation, to the women, to the men across Africa. And the word has been, let's wait, let us delay. It is 5 years down the road. It is 20 years down the road. God is saying, it is now. Hallelujah. Your hour to shine is now. Isaiah 60 verse 1, what does it say? Arise and shine, for your light has. Yes, look at that tense, the English there. Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. It is in the now. Arise and shine, for your light has come. You know, your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. And as I'm sharing and I'm preaching from this pulpit, it's a powerful pulpit. We have preached for many years from here. We have come. It is our jubilee. It is our time to release the anointing. It is our time to speak the rest God has promised. It is time for us to speak the release that God has promised. It is our time to speak the restoration that God has actually promised. The reconciliation and the redemption. All those R's on the screen I'm going to give you 3 L's, but there are also 7 R's in the season of jubilee. And these R's are like rain, just here. You know, yeah, rain of anointing or the oil of anointing. The R of release, the R of rest, the R of restoration, the R of reset, the R of reconciliation, the R of redemption, and the R of reign or dominion again. Those are 7 R's. And these R's are hovering around. The anointing is in this place. And somebody reaching out and saying, yes, it's rest I need. And somebody reaching out and saying, it's restoration I need. Somebody else is saying, I need release, release. I need a reset. And God is saying, in this year of Jubilee, I am doing something very, very special. And so there are 3 L's in David's life. What I'm calling the royal anointing. These 3 L's. The oil is pouring, coming to David, and there are 3 L's that are actually functioning. Number one, the royal anointing locates you. You know, located David, locates you. The royal anointing locates you. The royal anointing liberates you. And the royal anointing launches you. I think I have tried, because where you have R's and L's, it's quite a tongue twister. Dr. Meshach, I know you'd better do a better job than me. Let me try again. The royal anointing locates you. The royal anointing liberates you. The royal anointing launches you. And I want us to see, first of all, the royal anointing locating David. And this is to say, nobody will take your anointing will locate you. And this anointing floating here, the oil is all around. You need to connect, because the Lord is releasing something in your direction, wherever you may be. The royal anointing locates you. And that is where we end up saying, I am located. In first person, then you say, located. I am located. The royal anointing locates you. May I say that the anointing knows your address, even when people won't know your value. The anointing knows your address, even when people don't know your value. Even when you're forgotten. There is heaven that does not forget you. And you may be at the extremities of opportunities, and you feel my location is far flung. It is well scattered, you know, or perfectly scattered. I do not think anything can ever happen to get me where I am. But I want to say this. The royal anointing locates you. I say royal because the oil that Samuel is pouring on David is oil to designate him as king. And David becomes king not on the day of the coronation ceremony, David becomes king on the at the point of the touch of anointing. That is where he becomes king. The coronation ceremony later is just a confirmation of what the Lord or what heaven has done already. And therefore, the royal anointing locates you. I will read the scripture so that you hear from the scriptures. 1 Samuel 16, I read again from verse 1. The Lord said to Samuel, how long will you mourn so since I have rejected him as king, the king of Israel? You know, there are people operating in human strength. They are not operating from an anointing. And you know, Saul was selected by people because they said, we want a king. And at some point, the Spirit of God was in Saul, but God's Spirit departed from Saul and he was left on his own. God rejected him. There are people struggling in their own strength to push their businesses forward, to push their careers forward, to do their jobs, or maybe to raise their fortunes. But they don't have the cover of God. They don't have the anointing, the oil that makes it easy. You know, the oil, mafuta, haiko ndani ya maisha yao. The oil is not there. It is dry. They are dry. And Saul, the anointing has left, but he's still trying to perform as king. I can tell you that is very difficult. Very, very difficult. And that's why we should pursue the anointing before we get engaged or involved in all these things that we are involved in. We should pursue the anointing. And so there are so many people, even leaders, who are operating in the flesh, and they have to work extra hard to make things move forward. But when the anointing of God is upon you, it becomes very, very easy. And therefore, this turning point, in that scripture, you can almost feel it. Because on one side, which is the context of today's word, I have rejected him as king over Israel. In other words, I have withdrawn my anointing from him. Saul, therefore, is actually operating in his own strength. Now he says, fill your horn with oil and be on your way. I am sending you to Jesse. May your anointing is on the way. Hallelujah. And I'm sending you to Jesse of Bethlehem. God knows you by name. Give me Isaiah 43 verse 1 on the screen. Just now, we shall come back to the text. Isaiah 43 verse 1, I sense in the spirit I should read it. Why don't we read it together? But now, this is what the Lord says. He who created you, Jacob, he who formed you, Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have done what? I have summoned you by name. And what else? You are mine. So he's saying, I'm sending you to Jesse. The anointing knows your address of Bethlehem. I have chosen one of his sons to be king. But Samuel said, how can I go? If Saul hears about it, he will kill me. The Lord said, take a heifer with you and say, I've come to sacrifice to the Lord. Invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show you what to do. You are to anoint for me the one I indicate. Samuel did what the Lord said. When he arrived at Bethlehem, the elders of the town trembled when they met him. They asked him, do you come in peace? Just pause there. Yes, at verse 4. Remember, there was a prophetic word regarding Bethlehem. And every word of God shall be fulfilled. You know, a star rising, a king rising from Bethlehem. It was prophesied a long time before. But now in the flow of the anointing that connects with the prophetic, there is the action moment now, manifestation. And Samuel is being led to a very, very specific address. Verse 5. Samuel replied, "Yes, in peace. I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Consecrate yourselves and come to the sacrifice with me." Then he consecrated Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. When they arrived, Samuel saw Eliab and thought, "Surely the Lord's anointed stands here before the Lord." But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." Then Jesse called Abinadab and had him pass in front of Samuel. But Samuel said, "The Lord has not chosen this one either." Jesse then had Shammah pass by, but Samuel said, "No, has the Lord chosen this one?" Jesse had 7 of his sons pass before Samuel, but Samuel said to him, "The Lord has not chosen this." So he asked Jesse, "Are these all the sons you have?" "They are still the youngest," Jesse answered. "He's tending the sheep." Samuel said, "Send for him, send for him, send for him. We will not sit down until he arrives." I want to say, God has located you. And God will not rest until the anointing rests on you. He has made a choice, and he actually knows you by name. David is in the field. He has not even been considered for this ceremony. He is forgotten. He is out there. But the anointing locates him. Let me say, every overlooked person, this is your day in Jesus' name. Every hidden destiny, this is your hour in Jesus' name. This is your moment, and God is locating you. In Psalm 139 from verse 9, Psalm 139 from verse 9, what does the Bible say? "If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me, and the light become night around me, even darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book. Before one of them came to be, how precious to me are your thoughts, God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I am still with you." Now, from the time you are formed in your mother's womb, God knew you. He put you together. And you are in God's mind. Sometimes we think we are not in God's mind. The scriptures teach us that God thinks about us. And his thoughts are many concerning us. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. You are not an accident. And that is why this royal anointing that is going to usher you to a season of dominion has actually located you. The royal anointing located Esther. She was a young girl. She was an orphan. And favor came in her direction in Esther chapter 2 verse 17. When the king was looking and saw this girl, favor just rested on this girl. Esther 2 verse 17. And from that time, a turning point or a shift began to happen. Now the king was attracted to Esther more than to any of the other women. And she won his favor and approval more than any of the other virgins. So he set a royal crown on her head and made her queen instead of Vashti. I want to say there is a crown ready for somebody in Jesus' name. And God doesn't look on the outside. You might think it's my color, my height, my education, or any other credential that makes God pick on me. I want to say it is none of that. God's eye is on you, and God knows you by name, not by proxy. No, directly. God knows you by name. And God knows where you are. He located Moses in the wilderness. So those who are in the fields, like David, the anointing locates you. Those who are orphans, like Esther, the anointing locates you. Those who are hiding in the wine press, like Gideon, Judges chapter 6, the anointing locates you. And those who are in the wilderness, like Moses, the anointing locates you. Mary, the mother of Jesus, was actually located. And God is in the business, through his grace, locating someone. I believe today, somebody is connecting with what I'm saying. And they are receiving from the Lord and saying, God, you have located me. I thought I was obscure. But today I know that you know me. And the oil of anointing is for me. In Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 4 to 8, Jeremiah, right in the womb. You know, that's all where it all started. Jeremiah chapter 1 from verse 4 to 8. What does the Bible say? Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you are born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. Alas, sovereign Lord, I said, I do not know how to speak. I am too young. But the Lord said to me, do not say I am too young. You must go. And that's why I talk about the youth all the time. You must go to everyone I send you to and say whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you and will rescue you, declares the Lord. I want somebody to say, I am located. Let's even put it better. I am located by the royal anointing. Let's give a hand to the Lord. We are located. And so David is located. God is still doing it the same. Today we are located, Parklands Baptist Church, right here in Westlands, Nairobi, Kenya. The Lord has located us. And I believe from this jubilee, we are rising to our finest moment. Because God has already located us. He has released the anointing and God's people are receiving this anointing. But number two, the royal anointing liberates you. The royal anointing liberates you. And the word is liberated. The active word is liberated. Somebody is able to say, I am liberated. Hallelujah. So David is an ordinary person, but about to become extraordinary. The anointing will free him from the limitations of ordinariness. Yeah. The limitation of ordinariness. You hear people operating from a human level and they keep saying, I cannot. While scripture is clear in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Somebody needs to break free from fear. As a young person, he must have been afraid. This assignment, this thing is so big. What are these people doing around my life? But the anointing will break the yoke of ordinariness. In John 14 verse 12, John chapter 14 and verse 12, if I can have that one on the screen. You see, very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing. And they will do even greater things than this. Because I'm going to the Father. And that's where we draw the definition of anointing, is when oil is poured on an ordinary person and the ordinary person is able to do extraordinary things. So anointing is not a religious ceremony. It is God's supernatural enablement upon an ordinary person to accomplish an extraordinary assignment. Royal anointing liberates you. It has power. Free you from yourself. In fact, if there is any liberty we need and freedom we need, is the freedom and liberty from self. The biggest enemy we have is really self, and self limits us. Africa, self estimate limits you. Yet God in this season of Jubilee is calling you to break free. John 8:36 says, whoever the Son of God says free is, free indeed. God has called us to do exploits. They that do know their God shall be strong, and they shall do exploits. About our children, in Psalms 112 and verse 2, Psalm 112 and verse 2, what does God say? And this applies to David, it applies to Jane, it applies to Carol, it applies to Moses. Their children will be mighty in the land. The generation of the upright will be. These are prophetic words. And you take a scripture like that, you speak to a people. Now faith is that which catches the anointing that flows through the word. Because when the word is proclaimed, prophesied, it carries power, it carries anointing, liberating anointing, and you take it, you start speaking it to yourself and also speak to your children. And thank God for Samuels. Thank God for mentors. Thank God for disciple-making people, leaders. Thank God for selfless leaders who don't fear succession. Samuel comes with a horn of oil. He could have said, I am not going to that home. Why can't I stay in my house? And why can't I do this within my house, you know, among my children? But Samuel is very selfless. That's why he's operating with this kind of grace. It's a very special grace. He's a servant of God. And he has moved far, led by the Holy Spirit. He's in the house of Jesse. And he's here to anoint. And this is an anointing that liberates a young man from himself first. And all the excuses somebody can have. But secondly, from the fear that he had walked with. In fact, many times David would write, I shall not be afraid. Yeah, of whom shall I be afraid? Because he struggled once in a while with the issue of fear, rejection. He was not here in this conference or this interview panel or recruitment moment. They had even kept him away, kind of forgotten, a shepherd out there with the animals. Rejection. It's not the first time he's experiencing it. Even later, when he comes to face Goliath, the brothers don't believe in his capacity, but the anointing in David will release the stone. You know, just take an ordinary stone, turn a situation into an extraordinary supernatural situation, and he releases the stone. It goes to Goliath, and Goliath comes down. In the business sector, God gives you an ordinary idea, you release it in the marketplace, it begins to function in the extraordinary because of the anointing, and suddenly a simple business idea begins to prevail and big returns begin to come in your direction. The royal anointing liberating him. Stagnation. He had stayed in one place for so long. And generational bondage. David, this anointing will first work inside him and break every yoke. Bring him to a new level of liberty upon his life and open the doors to possibilities. There's an anointing that breaks the yoke or opens the gates of brass and makes a way that is so clear you cannot mistake it. I was talking to my children the other day and I told them, children, you know, as a father, and this week I'll be a guest of the nation talking about father. I'm a father. Hallelujah. And I've been a father for a while and I thank God for being a father. A single father. Our God is good. Hallelujah. Even single fathers break through. Amaje. Yes. Yes, they break through. And I'll be talking about it, you know, at the nation platform. But I was talking to my children, and I was telling them, I have stopped praying that God opens windows for you. Because when I say windows, I'm limiting your destiny. Fathers, just like Samuel, the anointing you release through your word is very powerful. It will either make your children rise to their potential or stunt their destiny, cut them short, and they stagnate there. And there are many, many young people or people even who are senior in age who have never received a word, an anointed word from a father figure. I'm here to release that anointed word. Hallelujah. And I say to my children, I'm not opening windows. With the authority I have in union with Jesus, me, I'm opening doors. And the doors I'm opening are so big. You'll stretch your hand like this. You'll walk I mean, imagine walking like this. They are so big. You will be able to walk like this, standing first of all, not squatting, because you can open doors like the ones of the igloos. You know those houses, they're igloos. And you have to squat to enter inside uingie ukondani. So you must stay like this all the time. Me as a father figure, hallelujah, I'm opening the doors heaven has opened. And they are big doors. Revelation 3:8, it says, God has opened a door no man can shut. Revelation 3 verse 8. And I tell my children, no more of windows. Because the problem with windows, you have to lift your leg. Some windows, you know, some of them are very small. And you have to really try to get through and, squeeze yourself. And if you're not careful, you're going to fall on the other side. I tell my children, that is not the destiny I'm living upon your lives. My word is anointed over your life. I am your father. And I'm speaking a word that is anointed. I'm opening big doors. And you will be walking like this. And you shall walk standing. You shall not walk squatting. And everywhere you go, my sons and daughters, you shall go through open doors. You will never squat. Yes, you will never struggle. I say that. Never struggle. In the name of Jesus. And so, those of you who have never been blessed by a father figure, receive the word also. I have opened big doors in the name of Jesus for you. You will walk with outstretched arms. And you shall walk like a king. You will not squat. You will break through in the name of Jesus. Your future is cleared now. Your future is authorized in the name of Jesus. Samuel is there. He comes all the way. He's not holding back. He begins to pour oil. And I advise someone here, by this word I have spoken from a father figure, connect with it. Go get some oil on the basis of that word. Apply it to establish it in your life. Olive oil, small bottle. You can get your oil in your own house. And you say, Pastor Simon in church spoke a father figure word. Just like Samuel, a father figure, comes to David, who is here. And this anointing will break the yoke. Everything that has resisted his life, right there, crashes in Jesus' name. And then the anointing paves a super highway. David is now unstoppable. You know, unstoppable because of the anointing. Breaks the yoke. And you take the oil. And you say, upon that word that was spoken in church, I connect with the Heavenly Father. A father figure word has been spoken. I receive the anointing. Anoint yourself here in the name of the Father. Anoint yourself here, this hand, Son, and this hand, Holy Spirit. And it is finished in Jesus' name. Let's give a hand to the Lord. Glory to God. Liberated to go to a new level. And Isaiah 10 verse 27 talks about the breaking of the yoke. And this royal anointing is very powerful. In that day, their burden will be lifted from your shoulders. This is the burden of their oppressors. In that day, their burden. There were some people oppressing the nation of Israel. And so the scripture says, in that day, their burden will be lifted from your shoulders. Their yoke from your neck. The yoke will be broken because you have grown so fat. The yoke will be broken. I say to somebody, the yoke is broken in Jesus' name. In Matthew 11 verse 28, Jesus said, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke. My yoke is lighter. And so Jesus is doing an exchange for somebody because today is a turning point. Today we have determined is a day of our turning point. This is the Jubilee day of our turning point. This pastor is blowing the Jubilee trumpet. It's a trumpet of freedom. The prisoner hears it, knows the gates have been opened, and the prisoner's shackles are broken, and the prisoner gets through the gates and is come back out a free man to become all that he should ever be, or a free woman to rise to their full potential. The royal anointing liberates you. There is no chain this anointing cannot break. There is no bondage that this anointing cannot free you from, whether it's an addiction or a habit whatever it is, a curse, this burden that has been lying on you, by this anointing, you are set free in Jesus' name. And so the preparation of David is not by man. It is by God, and it comes through the anointing. Of course, Luke chapter 4, verse 18 and verse 19, you know it. And it says about the anointing and what the anointing does. The liberating power of the anointing is here. The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. That is what the anointing is able to do. And Jesus is saying, this anointing is upon me. I'm releasing it like a river. And as it is coming, it is carrying out that assignment in the lives of God's people. Liberated indeed. And so, Jesus is saying to somebody, thou art loosed. Yes, Luke chapter 13 verse 12, King James Version. Luke chapter 13 verse 12, the King James Version. Jesus speaking to somebody, and he's saying, thou art loosed. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said unto her, woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. Be freed right now in Jesus' name. So whatever was holding you back is completely broken. But finally, the royal anointing launches you. This is the word launched. The anointing does not come to just make you feel good. The anointing comes so that you carry out an assignment. And for David, let's see what verse 13 says. So Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers. And from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David. Samuel then went on to Ramah. He was left by Samuel. He went on to Ramah. But David was not alone. Some impartation happened by the anointing. And this is the impartation of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit came upon him. Acts chapter 1 verse 8 says, you shall receive power, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts, ends of the earth. For David, the anointing was for him to become a king, and he did become a king. During his time, Israel experienced their golden age. The anointing upon his life made him a leader extraordinary. He operated under anointing. And for that reason, whatever he touched prospered. I am releasing an anointing that launches you into the best season of your life. And what you touch from here shall prosper. Deuteronomy 28 verse 12, you know it. This is what it says. Deuteronomy 28. And verse 12, as you are launched today, the Lord will open the heavens, the storehouse of his bounty, to send rain on your land in season, and to bless all the work of your hands. You'll do what? You'll lend to many nations and borrow from none. You will prevail in the marketplace. I declare, you will succeed in the marketplace in Jesus' name. Bring your platform before the Lord right now. The anointing falls on it. And God is going to use you in your platform, wherever he has placed you, to bring a testimony for his kingdom. They will see with their eyes the workings of the Lord where you're going to be. And because of this anointing, therefore, David stands out. When we receive the royal anointing, then dominion spirit descends upon us. And everywhere we go, we prevail. Everywhere we go, we stand out. Deuteronomy 28:13 says, you shall be head and not tail. You shall be top and not bottom. We shall be able to fight beyond our training. We shall lead beyond our age. We shall reign beyond our background. We shall be people extraordinary. Our destiny shall be fulfilled, I declare. It shall not be cut short in Jesus' name. And so today, may the oil that located David locate you. May the oil that empowered Jesus liberate you. May the oil that flowed on Aaron launch you into God-ordained purpose. May the Lord command his blessing upon your life, your family, your ministry, your destiny in Jesus' name. May royal oil launch you into a new season of divine possibility. May the anointing fall upon you. If somebody is connecting with that, give a hand clap to Jesus. Divine anointing. And my prayer is that by this service and this anointing, that you are located, you are liberated, and you are launched. That by this, when we go out, the world will not remain the same again. Share some the gospel with somebody. Lead them to Christ. Visit some. Pray for them. Pray for the sick. Those who are discouraged, give them a word in season. And also pray for them. As we go out today, we are going out with the royal anointing upon us. And I say, no man shall be able to stand in your paths. Your hour of shining is here. God's light is upon you, and the glory of the Lord is on you. As I stand here, I see you as shining stars, and I see the light of God permeating from inside you. That which was a mountain before you is being turned into level ground. Hallelujah. It's not by power, nor by might, but by God's Spirit you will make it. And therefore, receive the Davidic anointing. From the horn of the oil of Samuel and the horn of the oil of this preacher who is standing here, from that oil dispersed, you know, and released, receive the royal anointing. Receive the Davidic anointing. May this anointing locate you. May this anointing liberate you. May this anointing launch you. I am waiting for testimonies now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm waiting for testimonies. I said another Sunday here, the joy of a pastor is to see people succeed. And when your food, the food of a pastor is when somebody comes into your office with a testimony of what the Lord has said, has done. And I know I'm waiting in my office, wherever I'll be, I'm waiting for your testimony, your testimony. Everybody here, your testimony, your testimony. I am waiting. And I declare, Deacon Tim, as you come, I declare that these testimonies are coming earlier than you had scheduled. Because you are located. And God has released the royal anointing upon you. And for that reason, you shall prevail, you shall succeed. From Africa shall rise kings. From Africa shall rise queens. From Africa shall rise mighty men and mighty women of valor. From Africa shall arise an army that shall change the world. From Parklands Baptist Church and from Kenya shall arise a people who will change the whole world. In Jesus' name, I have prophesied. Amen. Thank you very much.